invited Monica to share with us today some of the ministry that she has been involved in.
Please be seated. RCM means greeting in the language of the Stolo peoples. There is not just one language and one culture for Aboriginal people in Canada. Each nation differs. It is not a case of one size fits all, though there are some similarities. That is why it is so important the languages and the cultures are passed on to the next generations. Branda Raven MacDonald is the Indigenous Justice Ministry Coordinator for our Diocese of New Westminster. He initiated, designed, and led this first diocesan Indigenous circle, which took place at the Synod Conference Hall in Shaughnessy. 50 attended, including elders from three First Nations. And as is customary, we sat in a circle. And during the opening and closing, we stood in respect. In a circle, we form community. We network and build relationship with each other and local First Nations leadership. Branda thanked the traditional territories of the Tsleil-Waututh, Musqueam, and Squamish First Nations, asking permission for us to be in their sovereign territory. And we also ask this today of our local First Nations, because this land is unceded. Terry Coyote Alec from Lytton First Nations greeted us, told his story, prayed, and along with others from the Seychelt First Nations and St. Hilda's in Seychelt, drummed and sang a welcome. Elder Kelvin B. from Burrard Inlet, who attends St. James in Vancouver, also greeted us and told part of his story and drummed and sang. Branda spoke of the reason for the gathering, and that is the Truth and Reconciliation's Commission's, TRCS, hopes and directions to fulfill the 94 calls to action. There is a need for non-Indigenous involvement in order to build better bridges. The calls to action is a starting point for discussions that have to take place nationally. Our first task was to read these calls to action, make notes, and then break into five smaller circles and discuss the document. How do we respond and how do we implement it? We need to raise awareness, and education is the key. This is a collective Canadian issue. There are several ways that we, non-Indigenous people, can learn, such as visiting the upcoming Seabird Island Festival in May. Last year, I found the 90-minute cultural tour at the Stolo First Nations in Chilliwack very interesting. Did you know that the Coquitlam Centre has a reference library open to the community and also a small museum? Have you seen the permanent exhibit at the Chilliwack Museum with its many First Nations artefacts? Any time we can meet with Aboriginal people, learn about their history, their culture, their customs, and listen to their stories will be beneficial in building relations between us. Further afield, we could visit the communities such as Alert Bay on Cormoran Island opposite Port McNeill. We are encouraged to experience a journey with our Aboriginal sisters and brothers, and the reception is amazing. It is about respect and being in a listening mode. Sit back and listen. This will put us in good footing with First Nations. Terry Coyote attended residential school in Lytton. In some cases, he says, health and criminalization is impacted by the residential school experience down through generations. Unlike many, Terry had the will to survive and rise above his experiences. He said, "We are just beginning. It took 7 generations to get to where we are today, and it will take 7 generations to get over it." It is important that we, non-Indigenous people, understand about generational trauma. Terry added, "When we listen to the stories, we must feel them in our heart. Otherwise, it is not getting to our brain, and we will not truly understand. With our emotions comes curiosity and possibilities." Back in the larger circle, our scribes reported back, and here are some thoughts. What role, commitment, talents can we provide and work together on? How do we deal with the persistence of those who do not have an open mind? We cannot have reconciliation without restitution. Some items were not mentioned in the calls to justice, such as the restoration. It was land that got us into this unceded, stolen territory. And how do we reconcile that? The story is the story of all of us in Canada. Federal, provincial, municipal governments, and the churches. We all have the responsibility to work towards moving forward in reconciliation. How long will it take society to embrace these calls to action? Can modern and traditional medicines mesh together? Could we not all learn from traditional Indigenous healing practices? Indigenous peoples must have the opportunity to learn or relearn their own culture and language. When words are written, they lose their power. Language covers the culture within it. There is so much to share with you about that, but I will post it on the church website. The 2007 United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People is the framework for the 94 calls to action. It provides the groundwork, the basis, that the calls should be understood and acted upon. The declaration aimed at eliminating human rights violations against the world's 370 million Indigenous peoples and assisting them in combating discrimination and marginalization. Back in the circle after lunch, we listened to more stories. Elder Kevin B. belongs to the Tsleil-Waututh Nation. They now have only 17 bands centered around Burrard Inlet, where there were once 500 bands covering 1,865 square kilometers. Kelvin said that their people have angry feelings and sadness that their language and culture were taken away. It was confusing for them when they came home to their homes in the holidays, and it was also confusing for their parents. Many First Nations tend to hide their emotions. They were taught at residential school to be quiet and not feel emotions. There are deep issues for all sides, not just Aboriginal people. Kelvin said, "Time and time again we've met recommendations and they did not go anywhere. The government closed its ears to us." Let's move on. Trust needs to be built. Both sides have been hurt and the church too. How do we heal this and bring it together? Our stories do not go away. There's a feeling of shame in us. History won't go away. Colonial evangelism was all about shame, guilt, and blame. Brenda also told this generation is angry about what happened to their parents. He prophesies that the next generation won't want to go to church. generational trauma. It's an ongoing impact. On a lighter note, if we are in a First Nation gathering and we hear a long pause in the speaker's talk, it's because the speaker is processing what he or she needs to say, what their heart needs to say. It is not a homily. If children are running around while someone is speaking, it is not considered disrespectful. And we need to be aware of this. More insights from Branda. Justice in Canada is impersonal. And he told this little story. For example, say you had a car accident. You don't meet the person you have wronged. You just pay up. Or the judge instructs you to apologize to the victim, providing a level of engagement, but it is not restorative. In the Indigenous way, not only does your insurance rate increase and you apologize face to face, you also take that person wherever necessary, like to the physio, buy groceries, church, etc. You don't get to choose to come out of that relationship. It requires much work. You cannot hurt them further, and that is Indigenous justice. The commitment level is high for reconciliation. We are all related. We are all connected. Part of the same family, the human family. We must work together. We were given a handout listing 33 Indigenous justice issues and asked to note the first and second issues we wish to be involved in. And this we later gave to Branda. There were many I was interested in, such as Indigenous education, Aboriginal child and family, urban native ministries that runs out of a church called St. George in Vancouver, the 50s-60s scoop of the Indigenous children by social services into foster care and adoption. There are 33 of them. Again, I will post them on the website. The group I belong to was sharing the journey with non-Indigenous folk. We gathered back in the larger circle. Branda told us they need our involvement in these issues. Also, as he works part-time for the diocese and part-time for the Mennonite Church, it is difficult to cover all the cultural, practical, logistical issues, etc. To this end, Branda was looking for a few to implement a diocesan Aboriginal Advisory Council. We stood during the closing protocol. Terry said a few words, and he and others from Seychelles sang and drummed a traveling song. Kelvin gave the final address, telling more about his years at residential school and how at age 5 he was physically taken from his parents by members of the Anglican Church and the RCMP. While Kelvin finished with a song and drummed, Branda brought Bishop Melissa and others to stand behind him in support after his sharing. It was an interesting day, and there will be others. The next one is in May. If anyone is interested, please speak with me. I will continue to post any information or events that are happening, and together we can travel, hopefully, on this journey of discovery. Mi'kmaq, that is Cree for thank you.
Right away. So why are we sharing this? We've had Monica go to represent our parish at these gatherings because we as a community are committed to not just talking about reconciliation, but living it out. And so we as the Anglican Church, we have been a part of the problem. Now we have said we have to be part of the solution. And so Monica has gone to these conferences representing us. and she's been reporting back. But gradually we have to do a deepening commitment to putting truth to our commitment to truth and reconciliation. We live in the midst of a First Nations area where are three reservations within probably 15 minutes of where we're standing here. And in the past, we've often lived as two solitudes. And it's now time that we start to know one another more. Because there's truth from us and truth from First Nations, and together we find a greater truth. We bring peace. We're about being a unified nation, about being a unified people. Because we have to always remember that God loves all of God's creation. So that's why we're on this journey. And I thank Monica for being there and sharing with us today. May God bless us all as we journey in a greater community. Not just us, but we are seeking justice. Amen. Did you turn off the mic? She's all wired up. It's not her normal thing to be on the wire.